Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live down the internet from London. This broadcast is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we continue with the fifth part of our series of programs entitled The Vatican in Europe. We'll discuss more about these programs after we've heard some music.
Thank you.
the Vatican and Europe. We continue with part 5 of this important subject tonight, with answers from the Bible. Over the course of a number of weeks, we are discussing the following. Where in the Bible do we find the Vatican mentioned? Where the Bible shows the Vatican's roots come from? Why Jesus mentions about the Vatican in the Bible? How long Jesus predicted that the Vatican would rule for? And what lessons has Jesus for us about the Vatican today? We have spent the past 4 weeks laying down a biblical foundation to prove that the Vatican is the only power in history that has exactly fulfilled all the 8 identifying marks of the Little Horn Power, as listed in Daniel chapter 7. From this weight of evidence, Protestants agree that the Roman Catholic Church is the Antichrist's power that Christ has specifically warned his people against. This week, we will be looking in the Bible to find out where the Vatican's roots actually come from. The answer will surely surprise many people. Let us pray as we continue with our study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we thank you for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the Internet from London. As we continue to study your word, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, Lord, to open our minds and hearts and to teach us those things that we need to know in order for us to be saved in your kingdom is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Vatican and Europe, Part 5. The Gnostic Roots of the Vatican. Now, where does the Vatican roots come from? We read in Acts chapter 8 and verses 9 to 24. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the fault of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. The book of Acts brings to view a man called Simon from Samaria. Among the converts in Samaria, Simon, by the power of Satan through sorcerers, had gained great fame among the people. But when he saw a greater power manifested by the apostles in healing the sick and in converting souls to the truth, he thought that by uniting with the believers in Christ, he might do wonders equal to those accomplished by the apostles. He hoped thus to add greatly to his fame and wealth, for he made merchandise of his sorceries and satanic arts, pretending to impart their secrets to others. His darkened mind could not distinguish between the power of the Holy Ghost and that of Satan. He went to Peter and offered him money, if he would give him power to heal the sick and impart to men the Holy Ghost by laying his hands upon them. Peter was filled with horror at such a proposal and severely rebuked the presumption of Simon. The magician trembled with fear as his sin was presented before him in this vivid manner. He began to perceive his own wicked audacity and entreated Peter to pray that the wrath of God might not come upon him for his presumptuous sin. Peter had with startling force shown Simon that he was yet untouched by the grace of God, for if his mind had been thus enlightened, he would have known that the sacred power of the Holy Spirit could not be bought or sold for money. Christ, at the infinite price of himself, had obtained for his people the power of the Holy Spirit, to be given only to his chosen instruments, whose lives must be free from selfishness and sin. And so let us now look deeper into history to discover who this Simon Magus was. We will first look at established historical sources. First, the Jewish Encyclopedia. On pages 371 to 372 of the 11th volume of the Jewish Encyclopedia, Kaufmann Kohler and Simon Krauss state, "Simon was regarded by all the church fathers as the great heretic from whose school and teaching sprang all the later motley heresies of Christianity. And inasmuch as his system contained Gnostic teaching, Gnosticism itself was ascribed to him. He was worshipped by many as a god, and seemed to himself to be one, for among the Jews he appeared as the Son, thus identifying himself with Jesus, in Samaria as the Father, and among other peoples as the Holy Ghost." Next, we will look at Encyclopedia Britannica. It reads, "Simon Magus was a practitioner of magical arts who probably came from Gitta, a village in biblical Samaria. Simon, according to the New Testament account in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 9 to 24, after becoming a Christian, offered to purchase from the apostles Peter and John the supernatural power of transmitting the Holy Spirit, thus giving rise to this term simony, as the buying or selling of sacred things or ecclesiastical office. Later references in certain early Christian writings identify him as the founder of post-Christian Gnosticism, a dualist religious sect advocating salvation through secret knowledge and as the archetypical heretic of the Christian Church." Next, listeners, we will look at the Encyclopedia of the Occult by Lewis Spence. We read on pages 184 and 185. "The first Gnostic of eminence was Simon Magus, contemporary with the Christian apostles. Under the designation Gnostics, the term derived from the Greek, meaning to know, their doctrines were an admixture of Indian, Egyptian, Babylonian, and Christian creeds, astrology and magic, with much of the Jewish Kabbalah also. From Alexandria, that great center of mystic learning, much of their distinctive beliefs and rituals were derived." So listeners, from what we have read from the Bible and from historical sources, Simon Magus was, either in one way or another, ascribed to be the founder of Gnosticism. He claimed to be a god, even the Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost, to different followers. He believed that the gift of God could be bought or sold for money. He taught that salvation was achieved through secret knowledge. His doctrines were a mixture of Babylonian witchcraft and Christian creeds. And he taught in Alexandria, Egypt, which was the main center of pagan learning in the ancient world. As we continue with our study this evening, listeners, I will quote from an article on the Medium website by Lawrence Kowick, dated April the 20th, 2020. It is called, "Was Peter the First Pope?" It reads, "The Roman Catholic Church tell their followers that they can purchase salvation with money through the doctrine of indulgences. Simon Magus was a pagan who blended his pagan ways with Christianity. Yes, he asked Peter to pray for him so that none of the bad things Peter said would happen to him would come upon him. But it is widely accepted by Christian historians that Simon Magus did not leave his pagan ways behind. Instead, he blended them in his new Christian beliefs, which is exactly what the Roman Catholic Church is, a blending of paganism and Christianity. Now, what did Simon Magus try to do? He tried to purchase the gift of God with money, which the Apostle Peter strongly rebuked. And what has the Roman Catholic Church done all throughout history and still does today? They offer salvation to those who are willing to buy it through indulgences. The very thing that Simon Magus wanted to do. You will notice from the verses in Acts chapter 8 that Simon Magus was not just a pagan who practiced sorcery. He was in fact the leader of the pagan church and had many followers who thought that he was ordained of God. Now the writer of this article then quotes from Philip Schaff, a Protestant theologian. The quote says, "The author or first representative of this baptized heathenism, according to the uniform testimony of Christian antiquity, is Simon Magus, who unquestionably adulterated Christianity with pagan ideas and practices, and gave himself out in a pantheistic style for an emanation of God." And that's from Schaff's History of the Church, Apostolic Christianity, Volume 2, page 566. So we see, listeners, that source after source conclude that Simon Magus was the first author or representative of baptized heathenism. He was recognized historically as the first religious leader to defile Christianity with pagan ideas and practices. We will now hear more historical facts about Simon Magus from Elder James Albito. This excerpt is taken from his Babylon is Fallen series of meetings held in Australia.
When Christ came to this world and he was beaten and torn, he suffered more than any other prisoner could ever have suffered. He was brutalized by the crowd, and the spirit of prophecy tells us that there was no criminal that was ever treated more inhumanly than he was. Everything devised by demons, disgusting, vile thing, was heaped upon his body. And he was beaten from head to foot. His flesh was torn to pieces. And he was a piece of hamburger hanging upon the cross. And when those disciples grabbed him to take him down, there wasn't one inch of sound flesh left. They put him in a tomb, never thinking they'd see him again. But when Christ rose, he released into the world such a power to transform human lives that it set in motion a movement of destiny that could never be stopped until we're standing on the sea of glass. Those people could stand in the arena and they could take everything in the earth and the devil could throw at them, but they knew they had a better land to go to and nothing could stop them. But the greatest danger lay ahead of them. God had told the Hebrew people, don't do what the nations around you do. Don't make a compromise with those people. And now Paul had to give the same admonition to the Christian church. I know this, that after I depart, there are going to be men coming in that are going to deceive the church, teaching perverse things and draw many disciples after them. Don't let anyone deceive you, because at that time the Gnostics were saying Jesus is here now in experience. Don't let them deceive you. Don't listen to these people that say it doesn't matter what happens to the body. Only the soul is redeemed through correct knowledge, they taught. Don't listen to these people, because first the church has to fall away, and the very system that we're battling against now, the man of sin, the system of 666, sun worship, the daily, will have to be set up in the church, and then you'll know. Then you'll know. Simon Magus had tried to buy the power of the Spirit with money. He was an initiate into the Hermetic mysteries. He could do miracles. There was no doubt about it. Satan inhabited the body of that man. He eventually, after his work with the disciples there, and made his way to Rome. There his name was Simon Petre, or Simon the magician, or the diviner, Simon Peter. Not the Simon Peter that you and I know of as a saint of God. But a great temple was established for him there, and Caesar had a statue made for him on the Tiber River. And there are many people gathered around this new religion of the true light, or the religion of knowing, the religion of Gnosticism. And we find out that when he died, his bones were buried in the divining serpent hill, the Vatis Khan. And there in the Vatican today, the one that they call Peter, Simon Peter, is none other than Simon Magus, the demon-possessed magician. That organization, as individuals passed off of it, each one possessed, they began to spread throughout this world. Established schools, the greatest Gnostic school was in Alexandria, Egypt. It was in that school that the Jews had apostatized, and now Christians, or these men claiming to be Christians. Simon claimed that he was Christ and had been crucified. But many of the leading families, the oligarchical families of Greece, were Gnostics. This is the Gnostic symbol on a family ring, another family seal with a god of Abraxas, a Gnostic god. And this is the number 666 in Gnostic symbolism, with a serpent and a tail in its mouth. In 1945, they found in Nag Hammadi, Egypt, books written by Gnostics which indicated that the foundation of modern Roman Catholicism and evangelical theology, and I don't believe they have any right to that name, because every one of their doctrines is to be found in those Gnostic books. They passed their teachings on through initiation. They could not be persecuted like the true Christians because they believed that they could lie. Indeed, one Gnostic society believed you had to break every one of the moral laws of the evil god of the Jews before you could be saved. One group was called the Simonians, and they or the Sodalites, and they believed you had to live in an indecent lifestyle in order to be saved. One group believed no women could be saved, so they had an initiation for women, making them men so they could be saved, spiritually, of course. But these are basically the areas that Gnosticism is Schism had damaged the church with. These brilliant intellectuals thought they were so bright, gathering teachings from all the pagan religions around them, felt that everything in religion was an allegory of one secret doctrine. And so they allegorized the Bible away in their theological classes. They believed that only the pneumatic or the spiritual entity of man was redeemable, and thus they separated the concepts of justification and sanctification and put more weight upon the area of the work they would call justification. The end, of course, was simple. Gnostics did not believe that you had to obey in order to be redeemed. They de-emphasized the concept of prophecy and their place in prophecy in favor of the experience that they should have. And they brought in the speaking in tongues and supernatural revelation among every individual so that the apostles' teachings were no longer valid. They minimized the idea of disobedience against God in their search for salvation. They minimized the idea of miracles, teaching that every man, through certain mechanical mental exercises, can perform the miracles of Christ. And they de-emphasized the concept of evil spirits. Their theology became a system of philosophy, comparing all the religions together. And the cardinal doctrine was that Jesus could not have been human flesh. No, he was only light. He had to be pure light. It borrowed this from the Mithraists, who became the they became the state religion for 200 years in Rome, and they worshiped pure light, and the Gnostics picked that up. They taught that if Jesus had come into human flesh, he would have then been sin, therefore he could not have obeyed the law, and couldn't have been the one to teach us how to escape the flesh. And this gave birth through a Gnostic by the name of Augustine to the concept of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, which gave birth to the concept that Christ, through a miracle of birth, escaped the hereditary weaknesses and degeneration of our race. And John called this the spirit of the Antichrist, which he says was already in the world.
So listeners, let us summarize the findings of Elder James L. Beto here, in addition to what we have studied this evening previously. The Apostle Paul warned the church that after he died, there would be men entering among them, speaking perverse things to draw many disciples after him. He warned the church not to let any man deceive them about the time of Christ's second coming. The Gnostics were teaching that Jesus had already returned in mystical experience. The apostle warned the church not to listen to the Gnostics, not to let the Gnostics deceive them, because first the church had to fall away, and the very system that the church was battling against at that time, the man of sin, the system of 666, sun worship, the daily, would have to be set up in the church. Then they would know that Christ is soon to come. Elder Arabito just explained that Simon Magus was an initiate in the Hermetic Mysteries. After his work with the disciples, Simon made his way to Rome. There, his name was Simon Petre, or Simon the Magician, the diviner, Simon Peter. A great temple was established for him there, and Caesar had a statue made for him on the river Tiber. And there, many people gathered around this new religion of the true light, or the religion of knowing, the religion of Gnosticism. When Simon Peter died, his bones were buried in the divining serpent hill, the Vatis Khan. And there, in the Vatican today, the one who they call Peter, Simon Peter, is none other than Simon Magus, the demon-possessed magician. Now, it is important to note, listeners, that some modern scholars state that Justin Martyr made a mistake when he wrote that the statue of Simon was set up on the river Tiber. They tried to argue that this statue was erected to a Sabine deity, Semausancus. But other scholars have noted that when Justin Martyr made the statement that this statue had the inscription Simoni Deo Sancto, to Simon the Holy God, that if he had made a mistake, then the other writers would not so frequently reported the statue as they have done. So listeners, we are presenting the evidence to reveal that the Vatican has its roots historically in Gnosticism, the religion set up in the first century by Simon Magus. We will have a break and continue with our study afterwards.
Voice in the Wilderness is a gospel ministry that was established in 1992. From small meetings of prayer and Bible studies, it grew into a national outreach resource and has since grown over the years into an international ministry that not only carries out evangelistic work through books and tracts and videos, but we also conduct prophecy seminars, health talks, religious liberty meetings, and carry out publishing work. Today, utilizing the latest electronic and printed media, our work has expanded and spread abroad around the world. In Africa, North, South, and Central America, Australia, the Caribbean, and Europe. We are a non-profit organization, and our work is supported by the prayers and goodwill of the people. If you would like to join our mailing list or offer prayers or give financial support, please contact inquiries at wildernesspublications.org, or you can call 440-7962-388-445 for more information. Visit our online bookstore at www.wildernesspublications.org. Visit our radio station website at www.vitwradio.org. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to listen to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio.
From what we have initially studied earlier, listeners, let us now examine more of what the Gnostics taught, bringing forward even more documented evidence in the process, in order that we can see how Gnosticism is the foundation of Catholicism. We read on page 25 of a book called Truth Triumphant, one of the finest books ever written about church history, written by B.G. Wilkinson. Gnosticism, a product of Alexandria, Egypt, Antioch's rival, was a union of pagan philosophy and gospel truths. While founding churches and building colleges, it rejected the Old Testament, denied creation, and held in contempt all Jews, even Christian Jews. We read from Albert Henry Newman, from his book, A Manual of Church History, Volume 1, page 297. In the great Christological controversies of the 4th and following centuries, Alexandria and Antioch were always antagonists. Alexandria representing a mystical transcendentalism and promoting the allegorical interpretation of the scriptures. Antioch insisting on the grammatical historical interpretation of the scriptures and having no sympathy with mystical modes of thought. Now we'll also read from www.gnosis.org, a website set up by the Gnostic Society in California. Now it reads, Gnostics do not look to salvation from sin, original or other, but rather from the ignorance of which sin is a consequence. Ignorance, whereby is meant ignorance of spiritual realities, is dispelled only by Gnosis, and the decisive revelation of Gnosis is brought by the messengers of light, especially by Christ. It is not by his suffering and death, but by his life of teaching and his establishing of mysteries that Christ has performed his work of salvation. Gnostics hold that the potential for Gnosis and thus of salvation is present in every man and woman, and that salvation is not vicarious, but individual. At the same time, they also acknowledge that Gnosis and salvation can be, indeed must be, stimulated and facilitated in order to effectually arise within consciousness. And so we see, listeners, that through Gnosticism, Satan brought in a philosophy of religion into the Christian church, which was the Antichrist. Gnosticism rejects that the blood of Christ is the means by which man receives pardon from sin and power to live a life free from evil. In essence, it rejects Christ's sufferings and death in fallen, sinful human flesh completely. Rather, as a whole, it teaches people that they can develop spiritually by their own works, by learning how to tap into the light within them, and that mystical enlightenment is the way to spiritual growth. This is the lie that Satan has continually sought to destroy men with from the time of the Garden of Eden, that men can be as gods through secret knowledge. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5, And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan has always sought to deceive man into believing that he can have life and attain higher knowledge without God. But this is a lie, as we know that death and degeneration has come upon the human race because Adam and Eve rejected God's word and listened to the serpent instead. In harmony with what the Bible teaches, the book of all history books, we will now learn more of where the religion of Gnosticism really comes from and what is at the root of its teachings. The findings that we will now share come from a book called The Trail of the Serpent, a book that is a compilation of 20 years of research conducted about the secret societies by Mel Vance. From pages 48, 56, 88, 107, and 113 of this book, we read. The Gnostics worshipped the serpent and used the serpent to crawl over the bread to consecrate it at their celebration of their Lord's Supper. The Gnostics from Gnosis, those in the know as to the real meaning hidden behind pagan symbols, numbers, and rituals. They identified Christ with the serpent and used the latter, as we have said, to consecrate their Lord's Supper. The Gnostic hierarchy consisted of an archpriest or patriarch, 12 masters, and 72 leaders or bishops. Since the Gnostics were an astrological sect that worshipped the serpent and frequently engraved the 12 signs of the zodiac on their gems, it is very likely that these 12 masters, following the usual symbolism of the secret societies, represented the 12 signs. In the secret societies, the number which sums up all the gods of the Babylonian astrological system, the number 666, the number is to be found on Gnostic gems by the score. The number 6 was sacred to a representative of the serpent and the sun god, and the serpent, they are both ever pictured together in ancient religious art. In 666, we have summarized the whole system of astrology. The whole system of the secret societies is carried forward in the Egyptian, Greek-Roman mysteries discussed by Plutarch at the time of John the Revelator, the whole system of the Gnostics, of the Kabbalists, and of modern secret societies. Though the early church leaders showed themselves strongly opposed to Gnosticism, many scholars point out that it was later embraced by the church. Montfaucon tells us that demon worship was carried on in the early church by those claiming to be bishops of Jesus Christ. And the Gnostics, as we have already seen, combined the worship of the serpent with the worship of Christ. They combined elements from the Babylonian, Persian, Egyptian, Greek, Roman, Hebrew, and Christian religion into the universal or Catholic system, which embraced all others. It is but natural that they should take over also the summary number, which includes in its mystic embrace the whole circuit of the heavens and all its gods, the number 666, the secret and most sacred number, we believe, in all paganism. And so, as we round off our study this evening, listeners, can we see more and more why Jesus has warned us about this Antichrist system? This system of religion that combines all the previous threads of demon worship with teachings that come from Christianity. Satan could see that he was losing power in this world as the pure Christian faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was taking hold in the hearts and lives of men. He designed a system of religion that appealed to pagan followers and those who wanted to be Christian. Through the teachings of the devil's disciple, Simon Magus, the religion of 666, of sun worship, of the serpent god, Satan, began entering into the Christian church. It eventually grew into the system of religion called the Roman Catholic Church. The Vatican means divine in serpent, because the religion of the Vatican is the religion of the serpent. These facts may be hard for many listening within the Roman Catholic Church to accept or to come to initially understand, but the evidence is overwhelming to prove otherwise. And we have only really just even started to bring this evidence to the surface. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." We also read in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus." Satan is angry with God's church, symbolized here by a woman. See also Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 2. Satan hates all those who keep God's commandments and have the faith of Jesus. He wars now against God's true church through the Roman papacy and through all the false religions connected to the papacy that are influenced by his demonic teachings. In our next radio broadcast, we will give parallels to show how the teachings of the Gnostics and the papists and the Babylonian mysteries are all the same. And we will see how they have led to shape the political and religious history of Europe down to today. We'll have another break, come back with our closing thoughts. Listeners, paganism is a system of religion where its followers seek to find mystical enlightenment and spiritual knowledge by the power of the forces of the universe. As we studied in our previous series of radio broadcasts, paganism is based around sun, sex, serpent, and Satan worship. It is a system of religion where the priests and adepts are the only ones who claim to have secret knowledge. All pagan religions teach their followers that they need to be initiated into the mysteries in order to gain spiritual growth. This system of religion has been passed down through the ages through each successive world empire. I encourage our listeners to think about and study out this matter very, very carefully. If the Lord has stated that there will be only four universal world kingdoms on this earth before he returns, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece and Rome, and that's from the time of the writings in the book of Daniel, and that the Roman kingdom has two phases, pagan and papal, then we should surely take note. And if the Lord has stated that each of these kingdoms makes void his law, then we know that these kingdoms are not for him, but against him. They are all anti-Christian powers. Over the past 4 weeks, as we have studied the books of Daniel and Revelation, the Lord has revealed to us in his word that we are now presently living in the time of the papal Roman kingdom. The Lord has revealed that this is the power that will remain as the world ruling power against him until he returns. Now some listeners may ask, how is the papacy ruling the world at this time, when America looks to be more powerful than any other nation upon this earth? The answer to this question is clearly set forward in the book The Trail of the Serpent by Merle Vance. On page 3 of his book, we read, "The ancient religious mysteries of Babylon, Egypt, Persia, Greece, and Rome, as well as those of the Gnostics, medieval churchmen, and modern secret societies, such as Masons and Rosicrucians, for example, all have symbolism as their secret language and all claim to be universal or Catholic." Here we see that from the time of pagan Rome, the leading satanic religion and power in this world has been directed through the Gnostics, medieval churchmen, and modern secret societies such as Masons and Rosicrucians. Those who have studied history know that the papacy grew from Gnosticism into the medieval church and has taken under its umbrella all the secret societies such as Masons and Rosicrucians. Merle Vance also points out on this same page in the footnotes that the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry by McKay and Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike point out consistently that Freemasonry is the great universal or Catholic religion. When you study the history of America, listeners, it is seen that there has always been a religious struggle between Protestants and Catholics in America since its inception, with many enemies of the American form of government coming from the secret societies within its borders. This has been documented extensively by many, many other able historians and authors. Charles Chiniquy, Avril Manhattan, and William Josiah Sutton can all be named as being notable examples. Before Simon Magus, there was no religious leader found recorded in the Bible or recorded by any ancient historian who claimed to accept the teachings of Christianity and who was, at the same time, a sorcerer. There is no one recorded in history before Simon Magus who ever had a religion called Gnosticism and who led out teaching a mixture of Babylonian witchcraft and Christianity. While being enlightened in the mysteries is an ancient term, for example, the Greeks used the term gnosis for those who were enlightened in the mysteries, mysteries of which they received from ancient Babylon. Gnosticism as a religion of the enlightened ones only comes into the picture in history in the first century AD. This of itself is commanding evidence to prove that Simon Magus must have been the founder of Gnosticism as an official named religion. But the most important aspect of this all is the personal spiritual application that we are to learn from all this today, tonight, this evening, listeners. How does this all apply to us personally, individually? Well, we need to ask, are we ourselves paying indulgences in our own form of religion? Do we return our money to the Lord only for a spiritual blessing? Are we seeking to buy the Holy Ghost from God's servants? Is it the power of God alone that we only desire? Or is there a desire for a change of heart whilst we are returning back to God His own? You see, the spirit of Simon Magus is to want power from God, but not the purity from the evil that God offers through His eternal love and power. Unless we ourselves are willing to allow Christ to come into our hearts and to destroy all of our evil thoughts and desires and practices through His word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, then we too are like Simon Magus. We are really practicing the religious system taught by the serpent God under the tree in the Garden of Eden. And so as we continue with our study next week about the Vatican in Europe, we will see how the religion of the papacy has always been an antagonistic and destroying element in this world. Let us now pray to close. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this study this evening. I know, Lord, for many of these facts will be startling, maybe even unbelievable. But the references have been given. The facts are out there, Heavenly Father. And I pray, Lord, that we would take our time to study these things, meditate upon these things, and seek to understand the truth of ourselves. Lord, we ask for the forgiveness of our sins and to be cleansed from all iniquity. And help us, Lord, to seek purity of heart in you. And finally, Lord, I pray for those who are caught up in the system of Roman Catholicism, those who truly want to serve you and are seeking for a change of heart, that they will come out of this system and that they will come into the pure religion of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So bless us and keep us. And I ask these things humbly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can also listen to and download our radio program podcasts at https://voice-in-z-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcast on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. On next week's program, we will continue with part 6 of this series of radio broadcasts called The Vatican in Europe. Well, that's it for tonight's radio broadcast, listeners. Until next week, good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio, enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio, enlightening the world every week.